Good morning, everyone. And welcome to worship this morning. Our theme for today's service is the seasons of rest. I would like to, at this opportunity, thank Audrey and Emma for agreeing to speak at our service this morning, as I've had a rather busy week, and so they have offered to give me a little rest, and perhaps the congregation also, a little rest from my preaching. So thank you very much to Audrey and to Emma for agreeing to do that, or offering to do that. It took a little bit of persuading, but they managed to persuade me. I'd like to draw your attention to a number of notices. There will be a Beetle Drive on Friday the 8th of March at 8 o'clock in the Rowan Hall. This is an opportunity for all ages to come together for a fun evening as we organise a Beetle Drive and have opportunity for friendship and fellowship with one another. And then also to draw to your attention the PW concert on the 21st of March at 8 o'clock. It's a country gospel concert. If you haven't already got a ticket, please speak to any member of the PW organisation and they will make sure that you get a ticket for yourself and for your friends. It should be a good evening on Thursday the 21st of March at 8 o'clock. I'd like to invite Harry Alexander to come forward, and he's going to do a little mission slot on Mission Africa. Harry.
Good morning, everyone. Jane has asked me to do a talk on Mission Africa. As you see in the announcement sheets, we have decided as a church that there will be a collection, and that we set next Sunday as the date for the envelope collection. As you're probably also aware, that normally our previous times, the subscriptions to Mission Africa have been collected by someone doing a door-to-door collection. So just ahead of next week, Jane had asked me to do a talk just to highlight Mission Africa again. So Mission Africa, which formerly was the Kwayoba Mission, and I'm sure some of you of my age and older will remember that. I remember that's one of the memories go way back when Sunday school, we would hear talk of the Kwayoba Mission, and it was one of these words that had real mysterious feel to it of where it could be and what sort of people would be there. So that's always stuck to me, and down the years, First Doma have always had an association with Kwayoba, and until its name changed. But generally, as it went along, your interest faded back to just some money in an envelope once a year. So when I was asked to do this, I did go into looking at the background and the history to the Kwayoba or the Mission Africa. And I found that very interesting, and to say the least. So I thought this morning I'd share something of that with you. Now, I have to remind you, the history goes back 120 years, so I'm not sure how much time I have here at the end, but...
not a minute for every year.
But it was right. So to start the story starts with this man. This man's name is Samuel Bell. This is the defender. And as you see from the photograph, really is the quintessential missionary. Panamana hat and all, a beard and all. He looks every bit the missionary, but he was much more than just an appearance. And this is a story. It goes right back to just about the time this church was built, the very end of the 19th century, and when foreign missions were taking off really through the country. And there had been a request made from some chiefs in a part of Nigeria to a missionary organisation in Scotland, a large missionary organisation in Scotland, to send someone out to them. But they were fully committed and couldn't help. So they referred the thing on to a Bible college in London. And at that Bible college, Samuel Bell was a student. And the appeal was put out there, and he responded. And he set off to Nigeria alone at that time, arrived in the area of the Kwayoba river. And there he set about, again alone, building himself a house and then setting up a church. In the next year or so, he was joined by some others from Northern Ireland here. And as well, a number of the churches in Belfast had come together to support him. And this was across the board, was Presbyterian, Church of Ireland, Baptist and Quakers. So the work began, and had begun right through the 20th century. The work went from preaching and setting up churches to developing schools and hospital services. It was a work that continued to expand right through that time. It spread widely in Nigeria. At that time, still been called the Quayubo, and they were setting up Quayubo churches, and there are now somewhere over 2,000 Quayubo churches throughout Nigeria. But as this went on, it spread beyond their own, and working with other missionary and Christian organisations, eventually spread beyond Nigeria and to other surrounding countries. So as the work progressed, towards the end of the 20th century, it was quite a large organisation, still based in Belfast, but spread as a total UK organisation. At the end of 2002, the name was changed from Quayubo to Mission Africa. And at this stage as well, the whole nature of the work was changing, because rather than just being missionaries reaching out to unreached people, the work was mainly in supporting work that was going on. And this was done by providing materials and training. And this became the concentration for their work. Now, it is a Northern Ireland organisation, still remains so, based headquarters in Belfast. Our own connection, to be a bit more local connection to people involved there, are these two people here. Now, you'll notice the man on the left isn't just a local Uma man, but his wife, the lady on the side, is a girl called was Pamela Johnston, and her mother's actually a cousin of ours and the Kennedys. And Pamela, as you see there with her brilliant smile, and that smile isn't just for the camera, that's the way she is always. And she's worked with Mission Africa, first in Belfast, and over 10 years ago she went out to work in Nigeria. Now, the work she's engaged in is a very large part of Mission Africa's work now. It's a part called, a section called ACTS, which is African Christian Textbooks, which they've set up this organisation to supply literature to the various missions and churches out there. And also they're involved, and this is her husband, who's a local Nigerian, Musa, and he is a lecturer in the University of Jos, where they live, on the subject of Christian history. So that has given us personally a bit more interest in it. But as I say, having looked at it, a mission that we have been associated with here in First Doma for possibly right from the beginning, it's made it feel much more real and more effective to have been involved in a work like this for so long. The Presbyterian Church has quite a still interest and a connection. The chief executive in Belfast is Reverend Paul Bailey, who is an ordained Presbyterian minister, and Dr. Patton Taylor, who was the former principal in Union College, has been going out and stints to 3 times a year for 6 week stints to lecture in training colleges. So First Doma's had a long history with them, and I feel it's a privilege that we can still have been associated with such work and can still continue to do so. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Harry. It's much appreciated. Often we see the envelope coming around the door or now inside your weekly free will offerings, and we don't really know a lot about the charity. So thank you very much, Harry, for raising our awareness on Mission Africa, and we will indeed continue to remember them in prayer as well as financially. We come to worship our God as we sing our opening hymn, 478, Spirit of God Unseen as the Wind. Let us become before our God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we gather in this place of worship to refresh our souls and to ask for your strength and your grace for today and every day. We give thanks for your word, which tells us to come to you, all those who are weary and heavy laden, and you will give us rest. You know, O Lord, each of our situations, the joys and the sorrows, the rewards and the struggles, the hopes and the fears. You know our coming and our going. You know our deepest desires and our heartfelt needs. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would meet with us through the presence of your Holy Spirit, and that you would grant to us more of your power to revive us, more of your peace to renew us, more of your presence to strengthen us, more of your love to sustain us, and more of your joy to encourage us. These prayers we offer in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'd like to invite the children to come up to the front, where Emma has something that she'd like to share with you.
You? Oh, I'm on anyway. Great. So, how are you keeping today? You doing, Elise, are you feeling better? Oh, have you something in your pocket? Very good. What's that? Oh, it's an envelope. Oh, are you going to give that in later?
Money.
Oh, can I have it? Can I have it? Oh, thank you very much. Well, maybe you keep it because you might need to give that in later. You keep that safe. Good boy. Oh, yes, you keep it nice and safe. Okay, so today we're thinking about rest. And this is our last of our season of our proximity that we have been thinking about in church. And so if we think about our lives for a moment, we're on the go all the time, aren't we? We're always really busy. Are you busy, Lillian? Sometimes, yes. Well, I know that I get busy and Audrey's busy and everybody gets busy. And life just gets on the go all the time. And you're busy from the moment you get up in the morning until your head hits the pillow at night time. And from what people tell me, it gets worse once you retire. Because some people say, I don't know how I found the time to work. But anyway, so this is our busyness pictures. This is everybody rushing around and everybody going to work and doing all our different things in everyday life. And that's just what life is like. It just gets one big rush, isn't it? Now, wonder anybody could tell me, what's this next picture? Does anybody like this? Do you like those? Do you like those? Oh, yeah, I like them too, but I can't really have them. I'm not really allowed them. I know, they're lovely. And what are they? What is it? I know sometimes, yeah, we are. Well, a Mars bar, sometimes they do, so have wee traces of them. But Mars bars are very yummy, aren't they? And can anybody tell me what they advert? There's a famous tagline that goes with this. Does anybody know it? What's that? Work, rest, and play. The choir's on it today. A Mars a day helps you work, rest, and play. And whether we're at nursery, or we're at school, or whether we're at college, or we're working, or we are retired. We all need to take time to work and to rest and to play, don't we? And we need to have a good balance of that so that we can do all the different things. And we often think of rest as something we choose to do as downtime, something we do to recover from all our busyness and all the different things we do that sort of makes us really tired and takes all our energy away. But God wants us to realize the needs that rest needs to be more than that. And Jesus knew the importance of rest, and we need to as well. And there's lots of occasions in the Bible where Jesus saw how tired and stressed and exhausted his disciples were. And they were the people that helped Jesus in his ministry and all the different things that he did. The disciples were always with Jesus. And they got really tired, just like the way we get tired too whenever we're working hard, whether we're at school or at work. But he took his disciples away. Do you ever go on holidays? Do you? Yeah. Yeah, so do I. I know. Holidays are lovely. That's the beach. Oh, it's one of my favourite places, Lewis. I love the beach. Yes. Well, yes, the disciples all, Jesus took the disciples away. And he, and the buses. Oh, the buses. Very good. Yes, that's the buses are nice too. Good. There's a lot of buses about these days. But the disciples took it. Pardon? Oh, right. Okay. Very good. It's very good. Thank you. Good boy. We want to remember today that Jesus took the disciples away because he cared about them. And he thought it was really important that they took time out and rested from all their hard work. And why did you think he did that? Why do you think Jesus took his disciples away, Lillian? What do you think? Did he care for them? Yeah. And absolutely. He loved them, didn't he? And he cared for them. And he wanted them to know what it meant. So, and I think Jesus wants us to know what that means too. And I think he wants us to remember the importance it is that when we get too busy, we have to stop, don't we? And we all need to stop. We all need physical and mental rest. So the next thing is this a good picture of what you think resting is? Do you like sleeping? Yeah. Do you like sleeping? Yeah, I like sleeping as well. Have Oh, a dinosaur bed. Wow, that's good. Oh, lots of toys. Oh, even better. Great fun. Great stuff. Oh, we'll go for the next slide, please. And how about this? Now, this is the Ireland rugby team. And this had to feature at some stage, just because generally rugby has to whenever it comes to me. But when we're thinking about being an athlete, do you know whenever they are playing all the games and they're running around for 80 minutes, and would you think they get a bit tired? Do you? No, they don't. Well, maybe if they're very fit, they might. Oh, yes. But I think they might need to rest. I think after a big game, especially if they beat somebody like New Zealand or England or somebody like that, actually, they have to rest. Absolutely. Yes, Lewis, you can go fast. Brilliant. It's great help. Great help this morning. But they need to take time out and rest too, because then they couldn't play the next match again and they wouldn't be able to win all those games that they have been doing. So what about the next example? How about this one? Do you think this rest to most people in the congregation? Falling asleep on the sofa and the newspaper half on you and the remote control on the floor and... Yeah, do you ever find yourself in that? Yes, it's happened often. And but you two probably wouldn't do that. Probably daddy or mummy maybe would. Yeah. No, they would. Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, no. Right, okay. That's it. But Jane's like, what? Anyway, yes, so this is something that we could maybe do. Maybe think rest to be having a little Sunday afternoon doze after your dinner. And how about the next one? Or maybe this picture. Isn't that lovely? Oh, I would love to be there. It would be lovely to be at a beach and go on holidays and sit and sunbathe on a lovely recliner and watching the calm sea and the sunshine. Perfect. That's rest. Great job. Have we got another one? No, we don't actually. That's it. So today we will discover that we need to find rest. Wait a second, Arden. One more second. Shh. And today, we're going to think about how Jesus is going to help us stay focused on him. We're going to think about how we can learn to fuel, to take in the things that God wants us to do, and then to reprioritize, which is a big word, which just means to put him at our focus, that we put him at number one. And so, this morning, I've got a backpack as well with me, and I need your help. So my backpack, and this backpack is a bit heavy, and it's filled up with lots of different things that we can fill our lives with, all the different stresses and the busyness and everything that takes us away from spending time in there. Yes, it's a bit heavy, and we need to take some time to spend with God, and he wants us to rest. So you think of some things that might take us away from spending time with God. Any things that worry us? How about in school if we have tests? Do you ever have tests in school? No, maybe not. Maybe not yet. But yet, that's the one of their worries. So we've got one worry taken out of our bag. And how about making friends? Is that something? Yeah, it's a big stone, isn't it? A big heavy stone. Put that bag up there too. Okay. And how about, let me see, changing, that's another one, isn't it? Another stone, about changing schools or maybe finding a new teacher. Maybe that sort of worries us and stresses us a wee bit and takes us away from really focusing on trusting in God. When you move into a different class, that's a very big one. I know, and this is my last stone. Can anybody think of anything else that might stress us or make our lives a wee bit... not focused. Do you think of anything else? Audrey, do you know anything else? Sorry to put you on the spot there. Moving house, the perfect. That's great. Okay. So now our bag is much lighter because we've taken all the different things away that takes our mind off from resting with God and not focusing on what he wants us to do. So, but I want to put now the things that might help us in our journey. And so I have some things. Okay, so we've got over here. Did I get my stuff? Do you want to put, if I get them, will you put them in my bag? So the map, okay. So Lewis, do you want to put them in my bag?
Yeah.
Good boy. Brilliant, brilliant. That will help us keep us on the right track. And whenever we are resting with God and spending time with him, he will help us. And let me try to get this in the right order. Bring me a file, it'll be helpful. Right. Okay. The next one is the Bible. Lillianne, do you want to put my Bible in there too? And the Bible guides us through the good and bad times, doesn't it? Because God helps us every day. You know, great stuff. And then we need this. A torch. Whoa, that's great, isn't it? Right, we put the torch.
Turn it off.
Yeah, we'll be switching off just in case. Because it's Audrey's batteries, so we didn't want to have to replace them. There we go. Great stuff. We've got that in. And then we have some
water,
yes. And a bottle of water, which takes away our thirst, which means that God gives us everything we need. He's the water of life, so he gives us all we need to live our lives. And then some
chocolate.
Yummy. So put some chocolate.
So you don't get hungry.
Don't get hungry, because, and Jesus is just like the bread of life as well, just like he is the water of life. It might get heavy, yes, it might get heavy, but it's all full of the right things. Absolutely. And then we've got some lovely shoes.
Shoes,
yes. And these are put into a bag whenever life gets a bit tough, but yet still we're going on our journey and we're resting with God. And just one more. Mm-hmm, that's true. Okay, and then finally, what do you think this, obviously this is, what's this, Lewis? A rock, and this is a reminder. As we heard, put it in there. Yeah, that's a good place for it. I just must remember to take it out before I put my feet into them. But it reminds us that Jesus is our rock, isn't that right? And that he is the one that we should rest on and we should build our lives on. Isn't that right? So today, we want to remember that. And we need to remember that Jesus wants us to take time out with him, doesn't he? And he wants us to rest. And he wants us to do all the things that will help us know him more and to share him with other people. So thank you so much for your help this morning. And it's a wee bit heavy, but it's not as heavy as it was. It's not too bad. Did you want to take a wee seat up at your oven seat there? And that's great. Thank you for your help this morning.
We're now going to sing our next hymn, which is hymn 488, As the Deer Pants for the Water.
Now, will Lillian and Lewis come back up? Will you, please? Thank you. Good boy. Good to see you. Do you know what I've got here? A phone. And what have we got on our phones that I might be using? Because I'm not allowed to make phone calls in church or send messages. What's that one there?
Photos.
That's for a camera. So, I was thinking I might take a picture. Now, what could I take a picture of?
Fire.
I could. Pardon? You know what? I think we'll take a picture of those people. Will we? Okay. Right. Do you want to see what they were like? Let's have a look. There's their picture.
That's you.
That's me. Oh, shall we try? Will we try the flowers? Okay, let's try the flowers. Let's see how we get on here. Now, do you want to see what we've done with the flowers?
Yeah. That's the floor.
Oh,
the
house. I've missed it again. That was the floor. Should I try you? But I promise I'll delete it. Okay, will we try you?
Yeah.
Will we try you? Okay. Let me see. Let's see what that one looks like. I've cut off Liz's head. Oh, should we try one more?
Yeah.
Will we try one more and see if I can get it right this time? Are you okay? We can stand. It's all right. Let's see how we've got on this time. What do you think?
Better.
That's better. Now, I want us to think about what I've just been doing. Taking pictures of that crowd over there. My goodness. But I was trying to take pictures of you. What did I do wrong?
I turned around.
And what happened when I tried to take a picture of the flowers? Yeah, because... Why? Sure, there's a great, lovely, lovely big jug of flowers.
Yay!
How did I miss them?
Yes.
No, I didn't turn it around. What did we have? What do we have instead of the flowers? We had the picture of the floor. So what did I do wrong? I didn't push the right. I didn't have it properly. I wasn't looking at the right place. And when I did the one where we cut off Lewis's head, I wasn't doing that properly either. Sure I wasn't. I'm not very good at taking photos. But that's Lillian and you're Lewis, and I know that. So that's fine. Do you want to sit down just in case? Just in case you fall. Thank you. That's excellent. Very well done. Now, what I was doing wrong was I wasn't paying attention. I was busy looking around me. I was looking at all sorts of things. I could take a photo with the TV. Yeah, maybe do that. Do you want to do it? Okay, here, you do that one. See if you're any better. Yeah, you take it.
Yeah.
Now let's see what we've got. Where do we see what we've got there?
Yeah.
Well, you're half upside down almost, but not to worry.
Yeah.
Right, we're not quite straight because, do you know what we were doing, what I was doing wrong? I wasn't paying enough attention. And not you. Oh, no, yours was lovely. Because sometimes the choir are a wee bit on their side anyway. Yeah, yeah, you were fine. But I wasn't paying attention. And we were thinking about this focus. I wasn't paying enough attention. And sometimes we can... Thank you. should be doing, which means paying attention to what they should be doing. That's a lovely shirt.
It's blue.
It's blue. It's a lovely pale blue. And Emma Jane's dress is a very nice dark blue. Yeah. Will you focus on me for a wee minute? Yeah. Good boy. That's super. Really good. Because all of us have to think about paying attention. And paying attention to God and to Jesus. You fell. That's why I want you to sit down. Okay? But all of us can find that our focus is not on Jesus and not on the things of faith. And we can all be guilty of that from time to time. Distracted because there are demands around us, constantly tempting us to pull away from keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus.
Yeah.
And all sorts of things in life can take over. And it's a good idea to pause and to ask ourselves, are there areas in my Christian journey where I've taken my eyes off Jesus and what he wants for me? And pause and think again, what is it that Jesus would want me to be focusing upon?
The window.
The window. Yeah. But we're thinking about all sorts of things in life that we can focus upon. I see what you're doing. Yes. You're a bit like a politician, right? We see. Mm-hmm. But often our minds are bombarded with all sorts of thoughts about ourselves and our work and our family and our friends and everything else. And all that's very worthwhile. But we also need to try and keep our focus on God and to think about what he would want. And we can make choices in life. Choices that can be challenging and even demanding, even frightening. But if we keep our focus on God and always looking at what he wants, that's fine. We'll look at it in a wee minute. Okay? We are encouraged by the words in the Bible to focus on God instead of the circumstances that are around us, telling us that everything works together for good if we love the Lord. And we're told not to cut ourselves off from the things and causes of the world, but to remember not to let other things get in the way. And encouraged to focus on God's laws, which are there as a basis for our life. Now, some of us wear glasses like these. Do you know what would happen if I took them off? I wouldn't be able to see. In fact, everybody would become a great big blur. Do you remember we saw Emma's picture at the beginning of everything blurred? That's what it's like when I take off my glasses. Everything's blurred. I could hardly even tell you're wearing a blue shirt. But if we have people who have eyesight problems, yes, and we put on our glasses, everything comes back into focus. And that's what we should be doing when we bring God into our lives. No, you don't. You're too young. Just yet. Okay. But they're very useful when you need them. Okay? Yes, I was just a little older than you when I had to get them first, so I've had them for a very long time. But if we don't focus on God, then the world can become a very blurry place. We want to focus on Jesus, focus on Christ, so we can see the world as he wants us to see and to serve him. And it reminded me of a hymn that maybe some of the older people know. And there's a couple of lines that say this: turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So we're all asked to turn our eyes on Jesus and to refocus on him and what he wants for our lives. And that's what we hope we will all try to do. Now, we're just going to have a short reading. Do you want to stay there? Because then Emma's going to talk to you again after that.
Yeah,
that'll do grand. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Audrey. I'd now like to invite William Clements to come forward and read for us our scripture passage this morning, which is from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 33. So let us listen as William reads to us God's word. This can be found on page 53 of the Bibles in the pews.
The apostles returned and met with Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. There were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his disciples didn't even have time to eat. So he said to them, "Let us go off by ourselves to some place where we will be alone and we can rest for a while." So they started out on a boat by themselves for a lonely place. Many people, however, saw them leave and knew at once who they were. So they went from all the towns and ran ahead by land and arrived at the place ahead of Jesus and his disciples.
Thank you very much, William. And yes, Emma, that's, Emma's now going to speak to you for a short minute and then you'll have an opportunity to go back to your seats and use your worksheets after this.
Okay, so we're going to think about refuel, okay? And that word means something, which we'll find out in a minute. But what do you need if you're going away for the day? Do you ever go...
Ball.
A ball? No, maybe not. How do you get to Portrush? In a car. In the wheels, absolutely. The wheels go round and you drive along the road and the wheels go round and round and you drive all those miles and you see Portrush and Port Stewart and the lovely sea. So whenever you, what does the car need to make you go to Portrush?
Yeah.
Wheels, and what else do you put into the car to make it go?
Keys.
Absolutely, the keys. And you go to fill something into the car?
Oil
and... Look at the picture. What's that? Everything except petrol. Brilliant petrol we've got there. Petrol. So this is a car being filled up with fuel, with petrol or diesel, depending on what car you have.
Petrol,
yes. And what would happen if there wasn't enough fuel to get you where you needed to go? And it would, yes, it would be a bit like this in your car, that you just would be running on empty and you couldn't move. The car would just stop, wouldn't it? And a car can't run on empty. It will go absolutely nowhere. Now, talking about food, who likes food?
Me.
Yes, so do I. It's great. I know, it's lovely, isn't it? So, what do you have to eat every day? Your breakfast? Yeah, what do you have for breakfast?
Food.
Anything?
And dinner.
Oh, lovely, yes. And we have, in school, do you have your packed lunch? Do you? And you have, what else do you have for tea time? What do you have for tea? Mummy and daddy makes dinner? Mummy makes dinner? Yeah, mummy makes dinner. Mummy makes dinner and you have your lovely tea as well. Has anybody got any favourite food? Got any favourite food?
Spaghetti.
Oh, spaghetti and chicken pie. And do you have any favourite food, Lewis? Dinosaur ones? Oh, very good. Well, that's lovely. I think you like dinosaurs. I think Lewis definitely likes dinosaurs. But could you go one day, one whole day, without eating food? Lewis, how about you? Do you think you could go one day without eating any kind of food? Would you be a bit hungry?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I could. I don't think we could. And I think, what would happen? What would our tummies? No, well, you wouldn't maybe have. Jump up on the wee seat a wee second. Good boy. Right, you couldn't. You would have a bit of a rumbly tummy, wouldn't you? And you'd be very, very hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good. But just as a car needs fuel to make it go, if we didn't eat, we would soon become a bit tired and maybe we would struggle to do things because the food gives us energy, doesn't it, to do some things? But as well as looking after our bodies and eating well, we also need to look after our souls, which is sort of what's inside in our heart. And just like we need to eat regularly, we also need spiritual food, don't we? And that's a big word for learning from God, isn't it? And learning. And where do you think we could get that food? Where are we today? In church. And where do we go to before church? Where do you go to? Jigsaw? Don't you? We've got Jigsaw. And the older ones go to Blast. And what else could we do to refuel? What do you think? Something that we can read? Read the Bible, good girl, Leanne. And how do we talk to God? By praying, absolutely good. Read books, yes, and there's lots of good books out there to tell you all about Jesus and all the different things that he did. Just leave that wee cushion down, good boy. So whenever we are Christians, whenever we believe in Jesus, he wants us to grow in our faith every day. And now, it's not too easy. Sometimes life, as we talked about earlier on, life gets a wee bit busy. And life just happens that you can't get it all fitted in. But he wants us still to do that. But we must try really hard every day, don't we? We have to be really, really good and try to learn from him. And you know what? God hears us when we speak, doesn't he? And even if nobody else can around us. So whenever we pray, we don't need to shout out loud. We need to be nice and quiet. We can be quiet, can't we, with God? Yeah. And if we pray the words in your head, sometimes you don't really know what to pray. But if we just say something, God hears us. And he always will listen to you. And he always has time for us. You don't have to use big, fancy words, although that's okay as well. But if you pray and ask God to help you grow and to learn more about him, he will answer your prayers and will come to help you. And, you know, we also, as you said, Lillianne, what do we read to learn more about God? The Bible, that's right. And the Bible, that talks about how we need to read the Bible to help us to grow. And that's sort of that's our fuel. The Bible can be our fuel every day. That we can, some people say it's like our daily bread. It's something that we can use and eat every day to grow and to know more about Jesus and all the different things that he tells us that happened throughout in those times. But the Bible isn't a storybook like this book that I have. And whenever we read it, we should pray and ask God to help us understand it, even those really difficult things. I don't know. So whenever we read it, it doesn't matter if I understand it, because it's just a little story that somebody has written down, and that's okay. But the Bible is more than a story. It is the truth, because God told us all about it, and we have to listen to all the words and take on board what God says, which will help us to grow in our faith as Christians. So the Bible and prayer and coming along to Jigsaw and coming along to church and the blast and all the different things we can learn about God. We must remember to take time out to pray, and we must remember to take time to read the Bible, and that to let it refuel our lives so that we can be the best people that Jesus wants us to be. So the more we read our Bibles and the more we pray to God, the more spiritual fuel we will have. And then we will be stronger Christians, being able to share Jesus and his love for everybody around us. Okay, so thank you for listening this morning. You were great helpers. And we will give you out a little puzzle sheet, and you can take those back and you can read the wee passage and colour them in and just bring them back again at the end with your pencils.
Thank you very much, Emma, and we will now do what you have suggested and come before our God in prayer. So let us join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the wonder of creation and for how you have built into our world times of work and times of rest, evident in the changing seasons, in the change of day into night, and in the provision of a Sabbath rest. We pray, O Lord, for all who have busy and fulfilled lives in their workplaces. And we pray for those who are stressed or anxious because of work-related pressures. We ask, O Lord, that they would find rest and refreshment and an opportunity to refocus and regain energies for the tasks that lie ahead. We pray for families and for the stresses and strains that family life can bring, whether that's due to sleepless nights, quarrelling siblings, wayward teenagers, exhausted parents, or elderly and frail relatives. We ask, O Lord, that you would give time to rest and time to relax, that you provide an opportunity for them to gain fresh perspectives and new insights into their situation, And we ask, O Lord, for healing of tensions and restoration of relationships. We pray too for all who serve in this congregation in whatever capacity, whether voluntary or paid, whether up front or behind the scenes, whether in an official leadership role or as a befriender and encourager. We pray, O Lord, that we would take time to rest in your presence and that through your Spirit you would envisage us, encourage us, and enable us for the roles you have called us to serve in the building of your kingdom here in this place. And we pray for those whom we know and love who are walking through dark and difficult valleys at the moment, valleys of sickness, of sorrow, of suffering. And we ask, O Lord, that they may turn to you and seek your help in their time of need. May you refresh their souls for the journey ahead. May you ease the burdens they carry. And may you grant an assurance that whatever their season, that you will walk alongside them. And we pray, O Lord, that the season of suffering that they are currently in will soon change to a season of joy as the wonder of spring follows the depths of winter. We give you thanks, O God, for all your goodness to us in times of joy and in times of sorrow, in times of ease and in times of pressure. We rejoice in the new life that you give to all who turn to you in repentance and faith. And we are grateful that in you we find rest for our weary bodies, refreshment for our thirsty souls, and renewed vision and passion for the journey ahead. Until that day when we are united with you and with all who have gone before us in your eternal kingdom, which will have no end. These prayers we offer in the Saviour's name. Amen. So the reason why we spend time focusing on God through prayer and Bible study is that we may become more and more like Christ, our Saviour. And so we sing our next hymn, which is hymn 512, May the Mind of Christ My Saviour, hymn 512.
Oh,
if I could ask Lewis and Lillian, can you come up again just for a wee minute? I need your help. You can bring your colouring boards with you, that's fine. Yep. Good boy. Up you come. How are you getting on? Good for you. You're doing well. Right, if you want to sit up here. No, you can leave your boards. You can bring them back with you afterwards. Now, we're going on to look at the last bit that we were talking about as part of rest. We've had refocus and refuel.
I did not get mine.
You don't need yours. You don't need glasses. No. Well, we're going to have a look at a to-do list for you. Now, can you tell me if I do that, what does that mean?
Happy,
things I like. And if we do that, it's things you don't like. Okay. Well, I want you to give me either the thumbs up or down for each of these things. So we'll try the first one. Make my bed. Hi, is that a thumbs up or down? You're up and you're down? Oh. Are you up too? Do you like making your bed? You do. Good. Okay, let's try the next one. Going out to play with your friends. Going out to play with friends, Lewis, what does that get? Is it a thumbs up or a thumbs down? Let me see. Down. You don't want to go out. You would rather stay in and make the bed. Mum, take note. You have witnesses. Up. Oh, is it up? Okay. Tidy my room. Is that a thumbs down? Oh, I think Mummy agrees. Are you going to tidy? You are some boy, I tell you. And go out to the toy shop. No, you don't want to go to the toy shop. You're going to stay in the house and do the housework. Are you going to the toy shop?
Me.
You too? Okay. What's next? Doing homework.
Yeah.
You like your homework? You don't have homework to worry about, really. Sure, you don't. Do you? Mm. But then you're too busy doing the housework. That's right. Yes, okay. And going to the cinema.
Yeah.
Is that a thumbs up?
Yeah.
Or down. But I think you like going. And helping your dad to go out maybe and mow the lawn. You like that? Do you like helping dad?
Yeah.
Yes, good. And watching your favourite TV programme.
Here I am.
Here you are. Depends on the programme. If it's one you like, yes. Now you sit up for a wee minute for me, please. Thank you. Now, so we have all sorts of things. Some we like, some we don't, some that are great fun, some that aren't, some are just those things we have to do, like go and tidy our rooms at times. But you know, it can be a bit like that when we're trying to follow Jesus as well, because he often is asking us to do things, not just as children, but as adults as well. Sometimes he's asking us to stand up and be brave for him, and that's not always easy to do. And so it's important. Are you tired? I'm tired too. I'm tired. You're not tired. Do you know what I used to say to my grandniece in America? When she said she was tired, I'd say, maybe you should go to bed. And you know what her reply was? Actually, I'm not tired. Oh, actually, I'm not tired. Okay. Well, it's very important that we think about our priorities. Priority means what we put first, what we put first in our lives. And we should absolutely, Lillian, you listen a wee minute, please, thank you. We should be putting God first. And even as grown-ups, we want to stop and think about how we spend our day. Now, this is one for people who are at work. But as we heard earlier on, you see, when you're retired, you don't even get time off, right? And you could have a really busy day like this. Some sleep, a lot of work. This person's going out to yoga. I know some people who are learning to dance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you do bedtime yoga? And have your dinner, maybe practice the piano, maybe have a hobby. TikTok. Right, so whether or we work or not, Most of us have very busy days. Isn't that right? We have very, very busy days. And what we're doing is often very worthwhile. That's not the problem. It's very worthwhile. But sometimes we're so busy with our days that we don't have time for God. And as you've rightly said, what should come first in our life is God and time for God. And the first commandment reminds us that God should come first in our lives. And we need to be careful that other things don't become more important to us than God.
No.
Must put God first. And as Emma said earlier, we spend a lot of time, and there's a lot of talk nowadays about our physical health and our mental well-being, but we've got to remember our spiritual well-being as well. And we need to be reminded that we need, as we've already been thinking, to spend time with God in prayer and daily putting him into our, thinking about him in our prayers, not just shopping lists of prayers, but prayers when we say thank you to God for all the things that we have from him. And the other thing that we need to do as well is to focus on reading our Bible. So we're asking, where do prayer and Bible study fit into our day? Because sometimes our days are so busy, are so packed, that we don't take the time we should to spend those minutes with God. Do we read our own Bibles and study them on our own or with others? Because there's always a message for us there. And when we're studying the passages that we think we know well, does he? Good, I'm so pleased. Right. But we need to look at passages we know well and ones that we don't know so well. And we're starting last week in our Bible study, we were looking at Abel, and not everybody knew all of that story, but we're going to look next week, or this week, at Noah, and we know some of his story, but there are a lot of important things for us to learn from it as well. And you can use Bibles, translations that are easier to read. You can sign up for Tides every morning on your email. But the really, really important thing for everyone, whatever age we are, is keeping God first in our lives. Because God has promised us his grace and his help for whatever we do. So we have to think, as we finish the service today, are we going to find our rest in God?
No.
We will. Will we focus on him? Will we be refueled to spend time? And will we put God first in our lives? Because all of that will then give us the fullness of life he's promised. And I'm finished. Do you know, somebody once said the best words they ever heard were, "And finally." And finally. I want to finish with words from the contemporary hymn writer Matt Redmond, whose words in a song called Simple Pursuit say this: God, take us back the place we began, the simple pursuit of nothing but you, the innocence of a heart in your hands. God, take us back to an unswerving faith in the power of your name, a heart beating for your kingdom to reign, a church that is known for your presence again. God, take us back. Amen. You can go back. Thank you.
Thank you to Audrey and Emma and Lillian and Lewis. You can go back to your seats as the offering is collected. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your goodnesses to us. We thank you for this time to come to worship you, to focus our lives upon you, and to thank you for all that you've given to us. So we pray, O Lord, that you would refresh us and revive us and send us from this place to be your good news to the world. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We bring our service to a close as we sing hymn 485, All I Once Held Dear. remembered, I forgot to welcome Sheena. So, Sheena, thanks very much for playing for us this morning. Now we'll have the benediction. And now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always. Amen.